last Wednesday night talking about kindness. And we explained the context that this trait of kindness was found in here in Ephesians chapter 4. And just for sake of a reference, we'll go ahead and read there in verse 29. To show the things that lead up to and are connected with this attitude, this disposition, and this desire to manifest kindness. Because I believe all these things go together. I don't think you can divide them. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now it makes sense that somebody who is trying and striving to be kind, they're not going to be mean with their mouth. They're not going to say things that are off color, that are overly critical, or jeering or making fun of people, or having corrupt communication of any kind. Because the two things don't go together. A kind person watches their mouth. They keep their tongue in check. He says in verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. If you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, and you have a desire to please and honor and glorify God, you're not going to act unkind. Those two things don't go together. You don't want to grieve the Spirit of God by not being kind. Verse 31, and again, all of these things should be put away because they are completely opposite of what a kind spirit, a gracious disposition ought to be. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now you take each one of those individually and you understand just by reading this passage, you can't be kind when you got bitterness in your heart. You're not going to be kind if you're filled with wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking and malice. It's not going to take place. And then he says in verse 32, the admonition, and be ye kind one to another. Of course, he's talking to the church at Ephesus, the believers that comprise that body, certainly by extension. This can be said of every area of your life, in your home. Be kind one to another. Teach your children what it means to be kind in their speech, in their actions, in their treatment of one another. It could extend to your workplace. You show me somebody at the workplace who demonstrates kindness, who goes out of their way striving to be kind and gracious, you know what? That person is going to be respected. And he's going to benefit that employer when he's got this attitude of kindness. So it should go in a much larger sphere by extension, but no doubt, kindness ought to exist in the Lord's churches. It ought to be manifested by every single member in the Lord's church. Be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Right at the heart of kindness is this gentleness that is open and active in forgiveness. And then, I know there's a chapter division in our English Bible, but there is not a chapter division as it was originally written. And it goes on and says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. You're going to follow God. You're going to have this aspect of kindness working in your life because God is declared to be kind in the Old Testament and in the New Testament and by experience if you're saved. Even if you're not saved. God's goodness demonstrates His kindness to all mankind. He gives all life, breath, and all things. And walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. He's telling us to walk in love like the Lord. You can't find anyone more kind, more gracious in all the world, in all of human history, than the Lord Jesus Christ. And certainly, if you're saved, you wear the name Christian. You want to be like the one who you have expressed loyalty and fidelity to. And certainly He was kind. Now, which brings me to the point tonight that I want to make. Why is kindness so important and essential in a Christian's character? Why is kindness so important, so essential in a believer's character? Well, I think I've answered this in part, but according to our text, if we are going to be true followers of God, as His dearly beloved children, chosen in Christ, washed in the blood of the Lamb, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, the truth of the Word of God abiding in us, if all that is true, then we are to resemble the Lord Jesus in this character trait of kindness. If God's nature has truly been implanted within us, we will exhibit kindness in some measure or degree. And if you're saved, it means that you've been born of God. You literally have a part of you that has been directly created by the Holy Spirit that responds to the Word of God. And that part of you demonstrates what it is to be a follower of Jesus Christ. That new nature. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So if we're going to make the profession, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, He has purchased me with His blood. I belong to Him. I love Him. I am following Him until the Lord comes or until I die. Well, if that's true, then your life should be marked by kindness. That is prescribed in our text, as opposed to living a life of bitterness, of wrath, of anger, of clamor. I mean, that's the way lost people live. That's the way people who are following the dictates of the devil, who are children of wrath, whom Satan is working in them actively. That ought not to be with us. You know, I fear as antinomianism has crept into Sovereign Grace churches, this idea that, hey, you're justified, you're declared not guilty, you have the righteousness of Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter how you live. That's a lie of the devil. It does matter. I remember Brother Cockrell always used to shut their mouth. He'd always say, okay, you don't believe that the law is to be loved and honored. Now, if you've ever read his writings, you'll have to agree, there ain't nobody that was stronger on grace than Brother Cochran. Strong as could be about imputed righteousness, justification by faith. But he asked these brothers, he said, I just want to know, since you say no law, it's not important, the commandments of God are important, which one of the ten am I free to break? Which one? Can I be an idolater? Can I be an adulterer? Can I steal from you? Well, see, when you start making practical application of antinomianism, they don't want no part of that. You know, the fact of the matter is, if you've been saved, it ought to show. There's got to be a change. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I believe it. I've been preaching it for 38 years. It's vital to our profession of faith that we actually profess the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, number two. And this may seem so elementary. Why is it so essential that we be kind? Because we're commanded to be kind. When God gives a commandment that is clear, you can't, I mean, if you've gone to the third grade, and you understand simple English, you understand verse 32 is a command. It says, and be ye kind one to another. Is there any, do we need to get somebody to diagram this for us? What is the real depth of this passage? What does he really mean? Be kind. Just be kind. Be gracious. Because it's commanded by God. You and I ought to look at every commandment as a divine authority to be obeyed. God is our authority. His word is our rule for all faith and practice. And if it's said to stand on your head for 3 minutes a day, we ought to do it. That doesn't say that. But it does say, be ye kind. It's a command. It's not something. The sad thing is, we have a whole group of people in our world today who say that they're Christians, who have probably never even read this verse. Who have never heard it preached on. That's sad. It's a command of God. We ought to be familiar with the commands of God. We have no right to disobey or go contrary to God's revealed will in any matter. But he says, be kind. Turn over there to Colossians chapter 1, or Colossians 3, verse 12. Again, this is a command directed to the new man. As you are crucifying, mortifying, putting away the deeds of the flesh, the other side of that is, verse 12, put on, therefore, as the elect of God. You call yourself one of God's elect? You say that you're chosen before the foundation of the world, that God has pitched His affections upon you, that you're a partaker of unconditional election? Well, here's a command issued directly to you and to me. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. That is the height of maturity as a believer, if you put these things on. 2 Peter chapter 1. Again, these things are clustered together with Christian virtues and graces that ought to be evident in the life of those who claim to be God's elect, followers of Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1, 7. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now what's the other side of that? If these things aren't in you, if they don't abound, you're not going to be fruitful. It may be because you've never been born of God. And I think he goes into that, verse 9. But he that lacketh these things, lacketh what things? Verses 5 through 8. Faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. It seems to me that Peter's making the point that, you know what, this is part of examining yourself, whether you be in the faith. Whether or not you're actually practicing the things that are supposed to be produced in the new birth. And are to be manifest in our lives. So it's a command of God. And as God's elect, you should love God's commands. And then number 3. Kindness is one of the ways that we approve ourselves by our testimony. Now, in one passage, Paul is talking about ministers of God. And I believe application could be made to anybody that's saved, but he's dealing directly with ministers. But go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and look what he says to them in verse 3. And again, This could definitely be applied to people who aren't ministers in the strictest sense of the word. But Brandon, this is definitely for you. And for me. And Jim, this is definitely for you. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God. And how do we do that? In much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses. And now he's talking about
These are things that actually happened to him. In stripes. I've never been beaten physically for my faith. Imprisonments. I haven't been imprisoned yet for my desire to preach Christ. In tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. And how do you do that? By pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. He's kind of showing the paradox that of the Corinthians, how they made him out to be. He says, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Point is this. If you're going to be a good minister of Jesus Christ, you can't be mean-spirited. You can't be vengeful. You can't always be looking for altercations. It's just not going to work. You can't be offensive for the sake of being offensive. Now, this is something, I've got a brash personality. I say dumb things sometimes, and I have to ask the Lord to forgive me. But I will tell you this, I don't ever want to be unjust or unkind in any way that I live my life. I may joke around, but I don't believe that a preacher can afford to be unkind, to be mean-spirited, to be condescending in the way that he treats people. There's too much at stake. We're talking about eternal souls and our relationship to them. But by extension, I believe there could be an application here because all of us are seeking to minister to others, to serve others. And if we're going to do that, our testimony has to recommend Christ. We have to recommend him by the way we live, the way we act, the way we think, the way we talk, the way we treat people. I think that's what he's getting at. One of the greatest hindrances to Christianity is a person who knows all about the Bible, who quotes it, and lives contrary to it by being mean-spirited, unforgiving, cruel, malicious, vengeful. You may know so much, but you can destroy a lot of good you've tried to build by being mean, by not being kind. And you know, John 13, Jesus made it so clear that one of the ways that people are going to recognize that we're his disciples, that we're learners in the school of grace, is that we love one another. You're not going to be unkind to somebody that you love. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Now another
reason why we ought to be kind, why it's so important. Our deeds of kindness are often repaid in this life as well as in the next. The laws of sowing and reaping ought to be in our mind every day that we live. And it's certainly something we've got to teach our kids and our grandkids. Everything you do has consequences. I mean, Galatians chapter 6 tells us not to sow to the flesh, but to sow to the Spirit. The laws of sowing and reaping are always in effect. Interestingly enough, at the judgment of the nations, when Christ comes back to the earth in Matthew chapter 25, and he is purging the earth from the unsaved, and the survivors of the tribulation are there, and he calls them the sheep, and he said, "Enter into my kingdom." You know how he describes them? That's part of their reward, because they showed kindness to his followers, his disciples. How interesting is that? Such a magnificent event. The Lord rewards kindness to those entering into the kingdom. That's amazing to me. That's important. And Jesus highlights that in Matthew 25, verses 34 through 40, which tells me if you're sowing kindness, you're going to be rewarded for it. Sometimes in this life, and certainly in the life to come. And then lastly, why is it so important that you and I display kindness? Because there is so little kindness to be found in the world today. As I read the start of the message tonight in Ephesians chapter 4, how many people are really like that? Kind, tender-hearted, forgiving, walking in love. You don't hear about people like that in our world today. We should strive to buck the trend. Now just think about it. Isn't it a blessing to meet somebody who's pleasant and peaceful, considerate, who exhibits kindness in their attitudes, in their speech, in their actions? I'll tell you a guy that his family impresses me is Brother Justin Meyer. He's got just a good way about him, the way he conducts himself. And then you can see it reflected in his wife and the way his kids are. They're so kind. They're gracious. They have a heart to serve. And you can see it. I love it when I see that happening in families. I really believe that our church is a lot. We've got some really kind people here that are considerate and courteous and gracious. And we ought to be so thankful for that. Because listen, this world is filled with unkindness, with malice, with real hatred. There are people who want to destroy one another. I don't want any part of that. I want to be more like the Lord Jesus. And in order to do that, we got to walk in love. We got to walk with this disposition of kindness. Now, next Wednesday night, I want to cover how is it that you and I learn to cultivate and demonstrate this kindness. How can we make application of this truth. So we'll get to that next week, Lord willing. I can't imagine how